Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Honey Boy, Harriet, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. David, what great films. It just writes its own opening chapter.
I suppose you mean what great film titles.
That's what I meant.
I haven't revealed yet
whether
they're
true.
Great films.
What a great selection of film titles.
Yeah, well, that's what we aim for here, is a nice little list of titles. And this week we got three of them, as we often do. And I want to say at the beginning, the one thing that all of these movies have in common, in fact, there's two things they all have in common. One is they're all based on real people. And number two is that they're all directed by women. So, American film remains a male-dominated enterprise and a white male-dominated enterprise at that. But here we have three films directed by women. So they are getting more opportunities, and movies that they're making are getting into the theatrical marketplace. Right now, I'll just mention that Honey Boy was directed by Alma Harrell, and Harriet was directed by Casey Lemons, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood was directed by Marielle Heller. So all, again, directed by women, and I'm really glad to see that trend. None of these is a great film, I'm afraid, but, they're interesting. And, again, it's really, really heartening to see more women getting the opportunity to make and release major films. So let's begin by talking about Honey Boy, which, again, is directed by Alma Harrell, and interestingly is written by Shia LaBeouf, who also stars in it, one of the stars of it, and it is based very much on Shia LaBeouf's own life. So when I said all three of these films are based on real people, they are, and in the case of Shia LaBeouf, he apparently wrote this movie while he was in rehab. You know, that's now a big, not just now, has been for a while, a big celebrity thing to do. I'm going into rehab again. Oh, okay. See you in a couple of years. So anyway, he was in rehab and he wrote this apparently as an act of therapy for himself, and then shared it with his friend Alma Harrell, and she said, hey, I'd like to direct it. And the next thing you know, we have this movie now in theaters. It's a rather harrowing story, as that background may tell you, because it is very much about somebody in rehab. And at the beginning of the film, we meet a young man. He's in his early 20s, and his name is Otis, and he's played by Lucas Hedges, who is in a lot of stuff lately and is just a terrific actor. Most recently, and right now, another film which is out right now, Waves, he's in that too. Really, really fine actor. Lucas Hedges plays this young man named Otis, who is a movie actor. And at the beginning of the film, we see him, first of all, filming a sort of a dangerous stunt type scene, and we may wonder what kind of movie is this going to be. The next thing you know, he's in an actual dangerous situation. He is driving his car, and he's totally stoned, and he gets into an accident, and he is told in the aftermath of the accident that he has got to go into rehab, and if he doesn't stay the course and actually get rehabbed, he's going to be in trouble with the law. So he grudgingly stays in rehab, and there he starts working with a therapist played by Laura San Giacomo, and very good performance, although it's a very minor role. And then we start getting a whole lot of flashbacks, which is a large part of the movie, to his youth. About 10 years earlier, when he was basically a preteen, when he was about 12 years old, played in a wonderful performance by the child actor Noah Jupe. And we then see his relationship with his father, who is played by Shia LaBeouf. So again, we have a character based on Shia LaBeouf seen throughout the movie at the age of 12 and also at the age of 22. And then he interacts with his father in the young version of him, who is actually played by Shia LaBeouf. So Shia LaBeouf is playing his own father in this movie. And the father is a former rodeo clown who has his own terrible troubles with everything ranging from drugs and booze to a very, very bad temper. And we see why the young Otis at the age of about 12 was so kind of messed up by his father. In fact, the therapist who he is working with as a 20-something tells him that he actually has PTSD. And throughout the course of the movie, we're seeing him work with that therapist and try to come to grips with his demons. And we're also seeing these flashbacks to when he was a kid and when he got this PTSD from his father, who was a pretty abusive person. So that's what the movie is about. I found the movie very interesting. It gets a bit sentimental at times, and I found sometimes that the storytelling of it seems to get a little bit muddled up. But it's a very effective movie. It certainly is an interesting movie if you're interested in the psychology of fathers and sons or parents and children and what might warp a person forever. It also has some interesting little insights into showbiz. As this sort of failed performer, the former rodeo clown, raises his son, who grows up to be apparently a successful performer, a movie actor, but who is very messed up in the process. So an interesting movie, I think, mainly of interest for its performances, particularly by Shia LaBeouf as the father, and by both Lucas Hedges and Noah Jupe as the son at two very different ages. It's not a really excellent movie, but it's a very interesting and affecting movie. Now, our second movie is also based on a real person, in this case, Harriet Tubman, the extraordinary African-American who escaped from slavery and who then helped others escape from slavery, was involved with the Underground Railroad and so forth. So this time we now have a historical drama. Both of our other films for this week, Honey Boy and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, are very much contemporary films. But Harriet is a historical drama about the great Harriet Tubman, who is played in the movie by Cynthia Erivo. And we see her begin as a slave who is known as Minty to one and all, and how horrible it's the usual story, and one that can never be told often enough. The horrible conditions of slavery, the horrible evils of slavery, simply the havoc that it wrought on human beings. I won't go into that, but it's not one of the great portrayals of slavery, but it's a very affecting portrayal of slavery. And we see how this slave named Minty, this enslaved person, eventually manages to escape and then goes back to rescue others from her family and turns out to be an extraordinary, courageous person. She makes her way to Boston. There she gets involved with an anti-slavery society, and we see the courageous efforts of abolitionists of various kinds, and that's what the movie's about. Now, I gotta say, this is an extraordinary story. Harriet Tubman, as I think everybody knows, was an extraordinary person in so many different ways. And she just did so many terrific things, and she was not only personally courageous in extricating herself from the evils of slavery, but she helped to extricate others and was, in fact, self-sacrificing and just extraordinarily heroic in that regard. All these things being said, I have to say that Harriet is not a good movie. This is unfortunate. A person like Harriet Tubman deserves a very first-class, top-of-the-line biopic. And there are people who really like the movie Harriet who think that it's very, very good. I found it extremely disappointing. And the main reason is simply because it portrays Harriet as a cardboard saint. She is just made into a terrific, excellent, almost superhuman person in her courageousness, in her bravery, in her boldness, and all of this. We don't see a human being here. And I think for this story to have real resonance, we must see a human being rising over the limitations of what being human means for all of us, and then accomplishing these extraordinary things. As the movie goes along, it gets worse and worse in this regard. She becomes less and less human, more and more of a courageous, heroic stereotype. Unfortunately, this movie ultimately portrays nothing but, people used to say a plaster saint, I've been saying a cardboard saint. These are the kinds of things that came into my mind while I was watching the movie. So, I mean, no disrespect to the fine performance of Harriet. Well, it's not that fine. It's rather one-dimensional. But let's say I have no disrespect for the intentions of everybody involved in this making this movie. And I think insofar as the movie teaches people about who Harriet Tubman was, maybe introduces young people for the first time to the personage of Harriet Tubman, and gives some lessons about what really happened during this horrific long, long period of American history of slavery. In all those ways, the movie is very, very good. What I worry about is that there are people, including young people, who are going to see this movie, find out about Harriet Tubman for the first time, and decide that the whole subject isn't really all that interesting. What I am waiting for now is a biopic think about Harriet Tubman that shows us a human being courageous rather than a cardboard saint being courageous. And now on to our third movie, which is so, so different, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And as one and all, well, not one and all, but many, many people will guess from that title, yes, this is a movie about Fred Rogers, the famous Mr. Rogers of children's television, who was in his own way really quite an extraordinary person who came up with a unique approach to children's television. I suppose you could say in a way that each one of his shows was a kind of a therapy session for kids. It taught kids it was okay, it is okay, to have feelings, to have negative feelings as well as positive feelings, that you have to recognize your feelings, to come to grips with your feelings, that if you're feeling angry, it's okay to be angry. If you're feeling sad, it's okay to be sad, because those are honest human things. And what you have to do is recognize these feelings and come to grips with them. And it's also okay to be happy and to be joyous and to feel love for other people. And that's okay too. And that's something else to recognize and to celebrate in yourself. And all this kind of thing is what Fred Rogers was doing apparently all the time, very effectively for kids. I shouldn't say apparently. He really did it. My own kids were growing up in the era of Mr. Rogers, and they were never that interested in Mr. Rogers. There were other kids' shows that interested them more. On the other hand, I know other people who are younger than I am who have nothing but the warmest, most wonderful memories of watching Mr. Rogers, and he was definitely a positive force in so many people's lives. So for all those reasons, he is worth celebrating. Now, not long ago, a documentary came out about Fred Rogers, which was very interesting. I rather enjoyed watching it, learned some things about Fred Rogers I never knew before. This is not a documentary, it is a biopic, and it stars Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. Now, when I first got wind of this project, Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers, I said, wait a minute, when you're a movie actor, shouldn't acting have something to do with this? Tom Hanks would appear to sort of be Fred Rogers. It just seems like one of those cases where the casting is too on the nose for comfort. And in a way, that turns out to be true in the movie itself. What surprised me about the movie is that Fred Rogers is not the only important character in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. In fact, I could almost say he's a secondary character because the movie is sort of based on a magazine profile of Fred Rogers that was written quite a number of years ago by a journalist. And he is really the main character of this movie. They've changed his name. In the movie, his name is Lloyd Bogle. And what we have is he gets assigned by his editor to do a magazine profile article about Fred Rogers. And he doesn't want to do this. Who wants to do an article about this children's television star? Well, the editor says, that's your job. You do what we tell you to do. So he goes off and he meets Mr. Rogers, and the two of them become friends. And Mr. Rogers starts being a sort of a full-time psychotherapist for this journalist. Now, I find this rather hard to swallow. What happens in the movie is that the journalist gets to meet Fred Rogers, and Fred Rogers sees that this journalist is troubled in certain ways and takes an interest in him, and the two of them start getting together, and Mr. Rogers just seems to have nothing to do in his life but help out this journalist to overcome his personal problems, which mostly involve his father. And I found all that very, 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 very sort of schematized. I'm sure that things like this happened in real life because the movie is based on this real life magazine profile and on the real life relationship between the journalist and the TV star. But I find the way the movie presents it to be sort of schematic. That said, Matthew Rhys gives a really interesting performance as the journalist whose name in the movie is Lloyd Bogle. Very, very interesting performance as this very troubled man who's really having a lot of difficulties in his life, mainly in his relationship with his father, who is played by the wonderful Chris Cooper, who is really, really excellent. And then we have, as I would almost say, a secondary character in the movie, Fred Rogers himself, played by Tom Hanks. Now, I'm not going to say that Tom Hanks brings out the dark undertones in Fred Rogers' personality, but he certainly does not make Fred Rogers into a plaster saint. He makes Fred Rogers into sort of an oddball, I would say. And the movie is at its most interesting when it's delving into the relationship between these two men, and even more than that, when it delves into the relationship between the journalist and his father. Again, that's Matthew reason, Chris Cooper in a very, very fine performances. And Tom Hanks gives an interesting performance, about as interesting a performance as I guess you could get, as Mr. Rogers, who himself is portrayed as something of a one-dimensional person whose mission in life seems to be to help everybody in sight, and who kind of drives the people who are managing him professionally crazy because he's always interrupting his TV show to go and help out somebody who needs a good talking to and emotional support. So all this kind of thing makes the movie more interesting than I thought it would be. So I'm not going to say A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is a great film, even a really, really excellent film, but it's a good and interesting film and presents a much more complex portrait of both Mr. Rogers and his friend the journalist than I might have expected. So if you're interested in Mr. Rogers, this is a movie to see. If you're interested in human relations, it's a movie which will offer some pretty interesting rewards along the way. And so that is my three movies directed by women story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you as ever. And I, as a woman, thank you. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Honey Boy, Harriet, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.